I am thankful for the lighthouse. I'm in love with the lighthouse. I'm going to get ahead of myself right away in my message. My business is following the lighthouse. My business is following Jesus all the way to my heavenly home. I'm thankful for Him. I'm in love with Him. We are a blessed people tonight. As we were flying in yesterday, all of you Oregonians know that I'm in love with Oregon. We flew in on a clear day, and the mountains, and I was craning my neck to see the mountains, and they were all there in their beauty. And I started telling Carissa, I said, "Now that's Mount Bachelor, and that's Broken Hand, and that's Broken Top, and then there's the Three Sisters, and there's Mount Washington, and there's Mount Jefferson, and Three Finger Jack's in the middle of them, and there's Jefferson and Hood and Adams and Rainier on the other side." And she's looking at me and she said, "How do you know all those names?" And I said, "Because I'm in love with the mountains." You know, the things that you're in love with, you want to know something about. When you're in love with something, you have an interest in it. You want to know something about it. And I want to tell you who I am in love with more than the mountains. I'm in love with the one who created the mountains. I'm in love with the one who created life for us. I'm in love with the one who made a way for us to be saved, to have a song in our heart that rings, a river that runs deep, not shallow. That's my business tonight, is to live for the Lord. I have a message tonight that I'd like to share with you. I'd like to start in the 9th chapter of Matthew, and I'd like to read one verse. Matthew 9:9. Now, I'm not going to read a lot of verses, so if you want to sit there, sometimes preachers read a whole bunch of verses and you kind of sit there and zone out for a little while and wait till he gets done or she. I've got one verse to read, so I'd like you to listen to the verse that I'm going to read and focus on it, because it's packed full of many good things that we're going to talk about this evening. Matthew 9:9 says, "And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and he followed him." This is just one verse, but it is a brief but powerful snapshot of what was going on just prior to the Master passing by, a man named Matthew. Now, by many accounts, Matthew was in a degrading business. He was a tax collector. He was a publican. And there was one man that said that none but the lowest of the Jews would go low enough to want to collect taxes for the Roman conquerors. And the publicans, it was an ensnaring business. They were known to take more than what they should have taken, and extort from other people, take more than what their taxes really were. This was the business that Matthew was in. And it probably wasn't a business that many would look at and say, you know, if the Son of God came down to the earth, he would probably choose publicans to bring honor to his name. Might not have been a tax collector or a publican. But this was the job. This was the business that Matthew was in. He was a tax collector. And this particular day, Matthew was sitting at his place of business. Oh, it was a special day. I don't know what all they did back then when they got up in the morning. I know what I do, and we all kind of get into a routine. And you have a certain set of expectations, perhaps, on what is going to happen through the course of the day. And you get up and you figure, well, I'm going to, you know, maybe take a shower and brush my teeth and eat breakfast, and then I'm going to go and I'm going to go do my job. I'm going to go sit and I'm going to do my business. I don't know what all Matthew did that morning. I don't know if it was like every other morning. I don't know if he had a burning in his heart. I don't know if he felt like this is a day that is different than many other days. Perhaps it was a day he might have thought like any other day. And he got up and got around and put his clothes on and maybe washed his face and maybe ate a little bit. And he went and he sat down at his place of business. Maybe he had his papers and different people's names and what they owed, and got his maybe his chair in place, and he probably had a little bit of security. There's a sense of security that goes on with being familiar with your surroundings and with what you do on a daily basis. If you don't think there is, let somebody begin to mix up your daily routine, and you will find out that you have a greater comfort level around that and security than what you might have thought. Matthew sat down at his place of business. And oh, as he was sitting at his place of business, thank God, a man named Jesus came walking by. And I don't think it was an accident that he came by Matthew sitting at his place of business, oh, doing what he was used to doing, something that was familiar to him, perhaps that supplied for his family. He had a lot riding on his business. And his business, if it's like many of our businesses, occupations, it drew him to it. Might not have liked everything about it, but he went there, and that was his place of business, and he sat down. But oh, a man named Jesus came by who was doing his business. The man who, when he was a young lad, said that he needed to be about his father's business. And he came by that day, and he came by Matthew. He passed his way, and he had two words to offer Matthew. Two words that changed his life forever. And changed millions of lives besides. Think about that. Changed his life and many, many, many lives besides when he came by. Two words. His call was simple. Listen to my message tonight, folks. Jesus' call was simple. His words were few. They weren't complicated. He came by and he told him, he said, follow me. Follow me. It's succinctly recorded in this one verse that we read. He saw, he saith, he arose. That all happened in one verse. The Lord came by and he saw Matthew sitting in his place of business. Jesus is walking by today, and he sees you, and he sees you at your place of business. And the Lord is calling out to you by name. Bob, Bob, follow me. And you know what Matthew did? He arose, and he followed him. He didn't say, well, Lord, who are you anyway? And by what authority do you have? And Lord, if I do follow you, if you are the Son of God, if you are who you say you are, Lord, I've got these things here, and I have things that I'm responsible for, and I'm drawn to these things, and I can't just cut it off. And Lord, my family's depending on this, and my future, and where are we going to go? And you want me to follow you, but what does the map look like? And what are we going to do tomorrow? And how is it going to change my life? And But he didn't. He arose and he followed him. The scripture tells us his direction was clear, folks. God's direction is clear. Follow me. Follow me. It wasn't complicated. We could stay here a long time. I won't keep you that long. There's so much, so many rich truths in this verse. Why do we overcomplicate it? So many people, we ask so many questions. Well, is this necessary? Is that necessary? We heard, well, maybe it's not a sin, but does it feed the soul? We ask what Scripture tells us that this is wrong? And how do you know that I can't get by with this? Do you know what Jesus said? Follow me. Follow me. If you follow me, I will get you where you need to be. Just follow me. So, well, is it necessary? I don't know. But if Jesus is going that way, if I don't understand all of the ins and outs, but people have followed him and they've made it to heaven and they've had a victorious life and maybe I don't understand tomorrow. Jesus didn't say you had to understand tomorrow. If I'm following somebody that knows where they're going and it's a destination that I have never been before and they turn left and I think they should have turned right, I just need to follow them. They know how to get me there. Jesus said, follow me. And Matthew arose and he followed him. That was Matthew's response. And what a wonderful change of business Matthew found himself in. Oh, what a wonderful change of business with a simple invitation, follow me. With simple obedience, a miraculous change happened in Matthew's life. I remember talking to a young man one time, and he wasn't where he needed to be. And I told him how important it was. I don't remember exactly how I worded it. But, you know, you need to be saved. And his response was, there's some things I just don't understand. And I want to understand it before I just make the commitment. I want to tell you something this morning. Young folks, old folks, middle-aged folks, follow Jesus. Take a step of faith. People are afraid to consecrate themselves wholly and completely. People sometimes are willing to take the salvation to get saved, and they need to, and the Lord has a new heart to give them and to wash away their sins and bring forgiveness when there was nothing you had to offer in return. Repentance and salvation is a wonderful message. But sometimes we get caught up and we begin to become fearful when the Lord begins to deal with our hearts about full consecration. Be filled with my Spirit. Come and lay down everything at the altar. Be willing to put it all on the altar and just follow Him wherever He leads. Matthew arose and he followed Him, and a wonderful change happened in Matthew's life. He became in the full-time business of following Jesus. That became his change of business. And I have a question tonight that I want to ask each of you. What business are you in? What business are you in? Do you know? We have all sat at our own individual receipt of customs, if you will. We all have our own receipt of customs that we go to or that we have gone to. And we sit, we get up, and we have a comfort level about our place of business. There are things in our lives that we have grown comfortable with. Things in our life that seem to fit what we want. We have our own affections. We have things that we're drawn to. What is your business? There are many things we could talk about. Lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. The world is drawing us. Young folks, the world today has so many things to try to pull you in and chain you to it and make it your place of business. And the world does it in a way that makes it seem so attractive and so needful and so difficult to get up and walk away from. Lord, I'll live for you and I'll serve you and I love you, but this thing over here, Lord, I think I can do it and still live for you. Lord, I don't see anywhere in the Bible that says I can't do that. What's your place of business? Maybe it's guilt. Did you know the enemy would like to make some of our place of businesses guilt for past sins that have been forgiven? And the enemy anchors us to that receipt of customs where he continually comes and makes us think that our place of business is to carry loads that the Lord does not mean for you to carry. And he wants to come by and say, get up and follow me. You can leave that here. You don't have to take what's on the table. You can leave the chain and the chair. You can leave the routine. You can leave what feels like something that draws you to it and you don't think that you can. Follow me. Guilt. Anxiety. Do you know that the enemy has anxiety as the place of business for many people? That's right. Worry. Fear. Fretful, the enemy always beating on them. That's their place of business. And they dutiful get up every morning and they wash their face and they put their clothes on and in a very dutiful manner they go to their place of business and they put on the load and they carry the load each day. You can count on them. Very good at what they do. What business are ye in tonight? Afraid to give your all to the Lord. Did you know that's a place of business that many people are in? Want to be saved? Have a relationship? Want the blessings of the Lord? But their place of business is that every day they get up and they approach it with, I don't think I can go there today. I can't. It's just too much of the unknown. Jesus walks by and he just says, follow me. Did you know you don't have to worry about how it's all going to work out? You're following the Master. He's never experienced the taste of defeat. This is the Captain. This is the Lord of hosts. This is the Creator. And He comes by our places of business. And I want to tell you this evening, He knows your place of business. I don't, but He does. He could go around the congregation tonight, name every one of you. In Revelation, you remember when He said, I know thy works? I believe we preached on that the last time I was here. He didn't have to go into detail and prove himself that he knew their works. He knew their works, and that's all he needed to say. I know your works. And they didn't have any questions to give back. Just like the man that was asked, "Where's your wedding garment?" He was speechless. He didn't have any excuses to make. The Lord, He knows your place of business. He knows where you are. He knows what you're holding on to. He knows what's holding you back from experiencing abundant life. He said, "I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." And many people don't experience abundant life because every morning they get up and they go to their place of business. And the Lord passes by and He calls us by name so many times. But we don't get up. And we don't arise. And we think and we hope that maybe tomorrow He'll pass by again. Maybe there'll be another opportunity, another time. Lord, I love you. I'll catch up with you. Lord, don't forget about me. Well, Lord, don't stop dealing with me. Lord, I do want you. Lord, I'm trusting in your love and your mercy. But I want to tell you something. There's going to be a day. There's going to be a day when the Lord doesn't pass by anymore. There's going to be a day where He no longer comes by and says, "Follow me. I'll forgive your sins. I'll write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'll give you eternal life. You can follow me. I'll show you the way." There's a day that's a coming. A day that we don't know when. And the Lord won't pass by your place of business anymore. The Lord is calling you individually. Did you know sometimes we can find security and comfort in almost feeling like that the Lord comes by the congregation tonight in a meeting and is just speaking to the congregation, and we can kind of get in our pew and find our little place and just feel like we're not really that the Lord is coming by and He's calling your name. Calling your name. He's saying, "Cliff, follow me. Cliff, I know your place of business. You need to arise and follow me." He's not calling churches and institutions and large groups of people. Jesus is coming by and He's calling you by name. And He's saying, "Bob, I know your place of business. And I have something for you. Follow me." You don't have to understand it all. You just need to trust me. Follow me. Follow me. And He moves on. And if we'll follow, if we'll get up from our place of business and follow, our lives will be changed miraculously, just like Matthew's was changed. Are you willing to leave behind what you're attending to today? Are you comfortable with everything in your life? Are you ready to stand before God the Judge versus God the Redeemer and the Savior and the One of Mercy? Are you willing to stand before Him as you are tonight? And are you willing to have everything laid open? Your dedication? Are you willing to have laid open those things that you find yourself being drawn to, that nag in the back of your mind? That seem like they just, you're always trying to convince yourself, always trying to find reasons why your place of business ought to be okay. Are you willing tonight to offer up your place of business to the Lord for an audit? as a final judge. Folks, there are people's lives that are depending on your life in this world to accept the business of following Jesus Christ. The Lord is looking to me to make my place of business, Jesus Christ, 100% full Christian, no dilution, no 2% me and 98% the Lord. It goes farther than just saying, do you believe? Are you a believer? Well, sure, I'm a believer. Thou doest well. The devils do fear and tremble. What's your place of business look like? Can you offer it up to the Lord? Folks, it's our turn tonight. It's our turn to get up and follow so that others can follow us. It's our turn. The Lord's not coming by Matthew anymore. He's not going to Zacchaeus anymore saying, come out of the tree, I'm going to your house. He's not going by the fishermen and saying, follow me. They're gone. That time period is past. It's your turn. Just as the Lord called Matthew, He's calling your name today, tonight. He's calling your name. Are you going to follow? Is He going to be able to walk down the road and find you there? Or is He going to find you trying to drag along your place of business? Your receipt of customs. Lord, can I carry this with me? Why? Lord, this isn't sin, is it? Well, maybe it's not sin, but why would you want to carry that? Why would you want to carry that weight around? We're only in this life for a certain short period of time. Lay aside every weight and sin. Are you carrying weights tonight? Folks, we've got to get past whether it's sin or not. The Lord wants to get us to the place where He begins feeding us meat. He wants to get us to the place where our weights don't keep us from getting into heaven. I can run a race. I can run a race with a pair of steel-toed boots on. I can put a backpack on my back. It's not illegal. They won't say, well, that you can't. There's races I can run where they look at me funny, but it's not a violation of rules. It's not a violation of rules. Say, well, where does it say in the rule book that I can't wear my steel-toed shoes and take, because I got a lot of important things in my backpack. What? If somebody said that if you lose the race, we're going to take the life of your son. Your son's life will be lost if you lose this race. And maybe you're running against somebody that's about twice your weight and that you think you have no problems at all. I can beat him. I'm good. But if they say the life of your son is mine if you lose to this person, what are you willing to put on your back? What are you willing to run with? How long do you want to debate whether it's sin or not? How long do you want to stand and say, well, I think I should be able to listen to this. I think it's not doing me any harm. I think I ought to be able to watch this. I think I can handle it. I think I ought to be able to go to these places. I know it's not what's been taught. I know it's not maybe where it's generally, you know, the safest, but I know who I am. Why? Why? Did you know your life is at stake? Did you know that your son's life, your daughter's life is at stake? Maybe you can win the race with the backpack. Can your son? Can he follow your example and win? Can your daughter? Can your neighbor? What places of business are you willing to drag behind you? The Lord is coming by and He's saying, follow me. Get up from your place of business. It's your turn now. Matthew's gone. Zacchaeus is gone. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Paul. They're all gone now. And the Lord is passing by and He's calling your name. There's a scripture that says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, he's talking to Joshua, now therefore, arise, you arise, and go unto the land which I give. It was his turn to lead now. It's your turn tonight. It's your turn. The Lord's passing by, and it's real. It's real. He's calling your name. He's saying, Nicole, Nicole, follow me. Nicole, I know you. I know your place of business. Follow me. Nicole has... Forgive me, Nicole. Nicole then has a choice. She doesn't have to. But she can. Everybody here has a choice. You have a choice. And the Lord's not going to force you. And furthermore, I want to tell you something. If you go ahead and carry that backpack around, you're going to get accustomed to having that backpack on your back. And it's going to start feeling normal. And the pace of your run is going to feel normal. And fast takes on a new meaning. It's fast to you. Feels okay to you. Feels normal for you. You don't see anything. People say all the time, I don't see anything wrong with it. I don't expect you to. You've been carrying it so long. You don't see anything wrong with it. They're being honest with you. I will confess there were times that I would hear that and I would think, how can you say that? You're not being honest with yourself. And I feel like the Lord really opened my eyes. Really opened my eyes, and it was scary. And he said, they don't see it. And it's not because he wasn't willing to reveal it to them. It was because he passed by and he said, follow me. Let me show you the way. Let me show you what it's like to follow Christ. And somewhere along the way, they didn't get up from their place of business and follow the Lord. And the Lord passed on by, and then they sat at their place of business and began to say, you know, I don't think the Lord would have a problem with this. I think this seems okay. There is a way that seemeth right unto man. But the end thereof are the ways of death. Why? Because they're not following Jesus. They have all these other places of business that they don't want to let go of. They have weights they want to carry. Say, well, that's not sin. Maybe it's not. Might keep you from getting into heaven. Now, I've used this example many times, so forgive me if you've heard me, but you go through a buffet line with about 50 trays of food. Have you ever seen a problem when you get to the buffet line and they hand you a plate that's this big? And then they got 50 of these things? And you're going, what's wrong with this picture? You can go through the line every day if you want, and you can fill your plate with whatever you want. You can fill the whole thing with dessert. And there's nothing wrong with it. It's legal. But if you do it, you don't leave room for the things that you need. People say, well, I can listen to this. I can go here. I can do this. And all the while, you're filling your plate so full of weights that the Lord has no room to work. We fill our minds with so much of the world. We don't have the quiet time. We don't give in the time to talk to us. We make that our place of business. And we say, well, there's nothing wrong with that. Well, that's not a sin. Okay. But are you letting the Lord be your primary place of business? Are you willing to get up from your place of business and go follow Jesus and commit it to Him? Let Him carry your load. Let Him carry the past guilt. Let Him carry your anxieties. Let Him carry your depression. I know what I'm talking about. I've had some experience with these things. Let Him carry the things that you're attracted to that you don't know how you're going to let go of. Say, I don't know how I'm going to let go of this. The Lord didn't say you had to know in the beginning. He just said, follow me. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's impossible. So when He comes and He says, follow me, all we have to do is simply get up and say, yes, Lord, I'll put it down. I will leave these places of business. And Lord, if You see fit to give me back that place of business, because if it is required, the Lord has ways of giving it back. Be willing to put it on the altar. If the Lord's dealing with you about something, or there's been something that's just nagged at you, and you just keep holding on to it, saying, well, when the Lord finally shows me that it's wrong, then I'll let go. Could I offer a different solution? Walk away from that place of business and say, Lord, I want to follow You. And Lord, if You find that I shouldn't have walked, Lord, then You can give it back to me. You can make it clear. Don't let the enemy take advantage of you by chaining you to your place of business. That's what he does. He chains you and then tells you that that's your friend. Put shackles around you. Makes you addicted to the things of this world. You're pulled, you're tied to them. Or the enemy's way of depressing us and getting us down and discouraging us. And he puts shackles on us and he says, this is your friend. This is your security. This is who you are. The Lord's saying, arise, follow me, lead, it's your turn. Are you entangled tonight with something? The Lord wants to free you from it. Matthew heard the call, and he got up and he followed, literally and spiritually. The Lord wants you to get up. And He has a new place of business for you. He's calling you by name, sweetly. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go? Who will go for us? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Don't you want that to be you? The Lord's calling you. He's saying, Philip, follow me. Who will go for me? Who out here tonight will go for me? Who will follow me? Who will leave their place? Philip, will you go? Yes, Lord, send me. I'll go. Hear the voice of the Lord tonight. Be attentive. Be willing to rise. Respond immediately. The Scripture says that Zacchaeus made haste. He made haste and went to his house. Jesus said, Zacchaeus, called him by name. Come on down, I want to go to your house. And he made haste. The Ethiopian, what did he say? He said, well, this is what does hinder me? This is what I need to do. What does hinder me? Lord, I'll do it right now. I want my place of business to be a follower of Jesus Christ. He made haste. What does hinder me? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Listen to the words of John Bunyan. I wrote this down. He said, how I now love those words that spake of a Christian calling. As when the Lord said to one, follow me. And to another, come after me. Oh, thought I, that he would say to me, how gladly would I run after him. I could seldom read of any that Christ did call, but I presently wished, would I have been in their clothes? Would I have been born Peter or John? I often thought, would I have heard him when he called them? How would I have cried, oh Lord, call me also? And do you know what? The Lord called John Bunyan. He came by and he said, John, follow me. And John got up from his place of business and he followed Jesus. That's why we're reading about him tonight. And I have good news for you tonight. I hope by now you know what it is. He's calling your name. He's standing at your door and he's knocking. And he's saying, follow me. I know who you are. I love you. I'm concerned about you. I have salvation for you. Jesus told Zacchaeus, salvation has come to your house today. And Jesus is coming our way and he's saying, follow me. I'll come to your house. Salvation has come to your house today. What businesses are you in tonight? What do the departments look like in your business? Is Jesus the head of all of them? Businesses have many departments lots of times. Is Jesus the head of all of your departments? Can you walk Jesus around to each door of your business? Can he go with you throughout the entire day? Say, hey, Lord, this is what I do at this time of the day normally. Lord, here's the business I'm in. This is what I do. This is how I use my senses. This is what I look at. This is what I read. This is what I meditate on. This is what I listen to. These are the sorts of things I say. This is my business, Lord. Is the Lord ahead of all of those departments? Do you know that if he's not, if you have a department that you just assume the Lord kind of look at everything else but that department, do you know that Jesus is not coming by to put the hammer down on you tonight in that department? He's just coming by and he's saying, hey, Rod, see this, where you're sitting? That's where he found Matthew. He found Matthew, right? Kind of a profound statement, right where he was. That's where Jesus finds you. Right where you are. And he says, I'll tell you what, Rod, this department right here, I'm not ahead of that department. I'd like to be. Will you follow me? Will you let me take the lead? Are you willing tonight to do that? Are you willing to give your all? Let's not pass up the opportunity tonight. If your place of business doesn't include the Lord in every department, Jesus is coming by and he's saying, follow me. I'll forgive you. I'll give you strength. I'll take care of you. I'll go before you. You don't have to be afraid. Be willing to consecrate. Be willing to say, okay, Lord, I'm going to put it down. I'm going to lay it all on the altar. And Lord, I'm going to follow you. And I will promise you tonight that if you do that, if you lay it all out and say, all right, I'm in. I'm all in. Off with the backpack. Off with the boots. Off with my securities. Off with all the things I think I can't get by with. I'm done. Okay, Lord, I'm in. I'm here. What wilt thou have me to do? And Jesus is simply saying, follow me. I'll show you the way. Be willing to follow Jesus. He'll show you the way. Maybe we could stand and sing a song. Maybe we could sing number 239.